Live today from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University, welcome in Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday. Big Joe Dubin is alongside for the entire show today. You're going
to
hang out.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here today. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because you are now the new color analyst for the Blue Raiders.
Thank you very
much. For the Blue
much,
Raiders Radio Network. You're going to work with Chip Walters.
I'm excited for the opportunity, and there are a lot of people to thank, including our first guest this morning, for making this happen.
Yes, Chris Massaro, the athletic director at Middle Tennessee State University, is kicking things off with us. Chris, what's up? Good to see you.
I feel like the luckiest man in the world because we got Joe Dubin doing our color, and you guys are here. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
It's fun to be here and see all the construction. We'll get to some business in a second, but to get to the construction that we have here at Floyd State, I walked through the stadium because I wasn't quite sure where. Well, I knew where to go. I didn't listen to Mark, and then I just walked through the stadium. But to see the construction of this huge facility that you're going to be building, I know is really exciting for the future of Blue Raider athletics.
Yeah, and it's nice to be out here and hearing kind of the rumble of the trucks and the construction
yeah.
and the drills, and it just smells like victory. It sounds like victory to me, you know, and so we're excited. You know, it's a $66 million building that we've begun construction on. And it's really going to transform our entire athletics department. So the first floor will feature the Kevin Byard strength and conditioning room, and it'll be great. It's going to be the best weight room in the group of five. And then beyond that, and that's for all student-athletes, and then we have training room for all student-athletes. And then the equipment room and a football locker room will be on the first floor. The second floor will be all football operations. So all the meeting rooms and auditoriums and coaches' offices and all those kind of things will be there. Then the third floor will be a club level for our fans and just add some amenities to it. So it's gonna change the view of our entire campus. It's going to change the view of our corner, both inside the stadium and outside the stadium. And it's the first phase of a $100 million project. And so when we move football out of the Murphy Center, now what we're raising money for is Murphy Center improvements. And we've done a good job with it, so hopefully we'll be able to hire an architect here this fall and start those projects.
Chase
as well.
And I could do that. We could put together some plans.
I would like to see that, yeah. I'll be very interested.
Stick figure rendering.
There's a bouncy house.
Joe, you're famous for your stick figures.
I am.
Be good. Yeah.
I could do that. We talked yesterday. You're coming off a fantastic athletic year.
We are.
For MTSU in all sports. Mostly all the sports.
Yeah.
Tennis.
And we had nine teams beat top 25 teams this year.
Wow.
We had two teams that were in the top 25 with our men's tennis and women's basketball programs. You know, football started it all off by winning at Miami. And, Joe, I had the pleasure of sitting right by you.
That was great.
During that game. And it was a fantastic game. And that started the whole ball rolling that women's basketball beats Louisville. Men's basketball beats Florida Atlantic, and men's tennis had a couple of wins. And it kind of ends with softball making the NCAA regional.
Oh, so close.
And, man, they go to Alabama and beat Alabama and have to beat Alabama one more time to go to the super regional. And we got beat 1-0 on a home run in the next to the last inning. So it was so close. And so it just – buoyed the whole department. So we've got the softball team all talking to Coach Stock on how to go to Alabama and win.
Yeah. That 24 days.
Yeah, I know. That's how things are going to kick off. But all this is a long time coming. But, you know, speaking of long time, our two entities, our station group, Cromwell Media and MTSU, have had a long relationship. And I'm excited to announce we're going to continue that relationship. As you all will have everything from men's basketball and football on 93.3 Classic Hits starting this season.
Yeah, we're excited about that because I think it's important for our fans to know where our games are.
Yes.
And so whether it's football or basketball, kind of like 93.3 is our station, you know. And then here in Murfreesboro, 95.1 is our station. And so no matter whether it's men's basketball or football, you'll always be able to hear the Blue Raiders on that there's no bouncing back and forth. We appreciate our partnership with 102.5, you know, and being on that station. But sometimes if the Predators were playing or there's some sort of conflict, we'd go to another station. And so our fans kind of had to search or pay attention to where we are. So now we can say no matter what, we're on this station. So, Chase, we appreciate your hard work on that, making this happen for us. It's been a great partnership for us it's been over a decade that we've done this, and so we're excited about it. We think it's a good partnership. We like the people that we're involved with. To me, life's getting a little too short. I want to be with people that believe in us and are fun to work with and those kind of things. And Cromwell has done that, and so we're excited to be partnered with them yet again.
Yeah, so starting here in a few weeks when MTSU heads to T-Town, to Tuscaloosa, you can hear that on 93.3 Classic Hits with Chip Walters and Big Joe on
Bring
the go.
It, yeah. So, I mean, Chase and I are both alumni of the school, so to see the progress, what's going on here, I mean, I've been gone now for 26 years, and I think Chase, what, you graduated in
12. 12.
So young.
Yeah, he's just a baby.
But it's good, though, Chris, because of we love Coach Stock. We think the world of you. And just Coach Insel. I mean, I can go down the line with these coaches up here, but to see the progress in this athletic world with MTSU is pretty cool.
Yeah, we're excited. I think we're in a – as you mentioned, Joe, we had one of the best seasons we've ever had, that we finished first in the Learfield Cup in our conference. We're 96 or 97 overall in the country, so we've got one of the best all-around programs out there, and that's always our goal is to be that.
Yeah.
We don't want to be a one-trick pony. All those kind of things. Obviously, football is important, but so are the other sports. So if we're going to sponsor something, let's sponsor it to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's funny. We go back to the Miami game down there when you guys beat Miami. I'll never forget Miami fans turning on each other in the stands. I'll never forget that because Middle just laid the wood to him, and watching Miami fans melt down that day was something. And you're right in front of me. I'll never forget.
Yeah, I won't either. And I had a lot of fun with you. You know, and we led that thing from start to finish.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. And so, you know, there's that little voice in the back of your head kind of going, when will the shoe drop? You know, how long will this last? And then the realization kind of, I think everybody had the realization about the same time
that we're
going to win this game. And that's when the Miami fans turned on each other. And I didn't notice it as much as you because I was too busy high-fiving Joe Dubin. So
it was great.
Was fun.
I mean, I feel like a win like that is, and I'll ask Coach Stock this too, it's kind of like your kids. You love them all equally, but like, do you have rankings for some of the wins that have happened since you've been here of like where they rank in history?
Yeah.
I do.
I look at that as maybe the biggest one.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great moments. And it's sad, but sometimes you remember the losses more than the wins, you know, and it's because they hang with you longer because the win, you almost have to move on. I mean, it's like, okay, we did it. Now we got to play again next
right.
week. You know, and so you don't have as much time to savor it. But, yeah, it's right up there. You know, Michigan State and the NCAA basketball tournament.
Oh, that,
Minnesota
yes.
and the basketball tournament.
I still bring that up. I bring that up to Derek Mason every now and then just to
go.
Remind him
yeah,
that happened.
Put him in his place there.
Because
yeah.
those jump to mind.
Yeah, we're talking to MTSU Athletic Director Chris Massaro. Now, you have to leave here shortly. You're going. There's a big thing ahead for you today, right?
There is. I'm going to Huntsville. We have a big announcement in Huntsville. That's going to be the home of the Conference USA basketball tournament, which we're thrilled about because we wanted to Frisco, Texas did a great job with it. The Dallas Cowboys facility was fantastic,
yeah.
but we wanted it closer to us, and so Huntsville was interested in it. They got the bid. It's close to us in Jacksonville State, Western Kentucky, Kennesaw State, so it's really a good thing for us. So we've got a big announcement where we're going to announce a women's basketball game here at noon that's going to be there in December, and we hope our fans and other fans get excited about it. But what it does for us, not only has it we have a competitive advantage on our women's basketball because they'll have seen that court and played in in a big game.
Hold on. Big announcement. Can you let us know? We have to wait.
He's making his way. Yeah, I got to make you wait. I'm not giving you enough.
That's a tease, Joe.
Now, if you had Rick Ensel on here, it'd probably be spilled out.
But he's been known to talk.
He has. He's kind of let the bag out a little bit. But we're excited about it. I just think that those three games in March are the most important games that we'll play, both on the men's and women's side.
Sure.
So that tournament's really important to us.
Road trip
for the Blue Raiders. And it'll be on our season ticket package as well.
Nice.
Oh, very cool. It's obviously an exciting time here. We're excited about 93.3 Classic Hits being the home of football and men's basketball. But it's also a weird time in college athletics. So as an AD, how much are you paying attention to some of this realignment, even though Conference USA seems to be in a very good spot right now?
Yeah, I don't sleep much because I'm checking Twitter and finding out what's going on. And so you got to track it, you know, and it makes – personally, it makes me very sad. Sad on multiple reasons is that the national championship isn't who has the biggest TV contract. And I think that we're chasing the wrong things, and we've lost our values a little bit as a industry. When I first was named AD, you know, way back when, I got a phone call from Lee Fowler to congratulate me, and he was at NC State at the time, and he says, hey, you know, there's only 120 FBS ADs, so we try to all look out for each other. We're like the U.S. Senate. You know, we got 20 more than the Senate does. But we try to look out for each other and not hang anybody out to dry. And I kind of remembered that, and now all that collegiality is lost. I've always felt like I have a duty to Middle Tennessee, and I know that's my primary responsibility. And I spend 24/7 thinking about this place. But also I think I have even a greater responsibility in my position to be guardians of the game. And I think we've lost that. I don't think that people – in my position and above my position are taking the role of being a guardian of the game as seriously as I'd want them to, because I don't like what's happened. I think it's bad for everybody overall. It makes me very sad that the Pac-12 might no longer exist.
I know.
You know, and all the memories and history of that it's just I don't like the direction. I just hope we find our values somewhere and that we start thinking about the game.
There's no end in sight. I mean, it's got to be frustrating for you because this is what's going to happen tomorrow.
It's a continuing evolution, and I think there will be a great consolidation of 30 to 40. I mean, that's been kind of inevitable all along. And then for us, I think to be in that second of schools,
right?
That's the place to be, you know, and we can still emphasize the college education. We can still emphasize values. Let those schools be like the NFL, and then we can be like the collegiate model. And so that's where I think we need to be. That's the facilities and stuff. I think we've got a great chance with the improvements we're making to be in that group.
Could you foresee – I've brought this up a few times with all of this – that there could be a super conference champion in football, and I'm just talking football. In football, that's whatever, and then there could be another champion. It almost becomes like high school where there's different classifications. Yeah. Could you see it going that way?
I hope not. I hope we don't end up with six championships or whatever. That I like the CFP right now, you know, and it was set up that six conference champions were guaranteed a berth. And so that was the Power Five, realistically, not guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then maybe one group of five. So we had access. And so I just want, in all these changes, that we still have access, that the best champion out of our group has a chance to compete for a national title. Because if you start separating championships, I think you water them down. And then you don't get that Michigan State versus Middle Tennessee.
Right,
right.
You know, and those kind of things. You don't get Tulane beating Southern Cal in the Cotton Bowl last year and those kind of things.
Yes.
So I think people are undervaluing kind of how good some of these teams are at our level. And the fact that in a one-game shootout, go in there and let's fire the pistols, man.
Love it.
Let's go for it.
Love it.
You know, and get in the tournament.
He is Chris Massaro, athletic director at Middle Tennessee State University. We're excited. You can hear football and men's basketball on 93.3 Classic Hits. That is the home of the Blue Raiders in Nashville. Chris, good luck today with the announcement.
Thanks.
And good to see you. We'll see you again soon.
Man, thank you guys so much for being out here. We appreciate
it. We love
it. It's going to be great for our players, too, when they come out to practice and see these tents and see you guys out here as well. So
thank you.
Love it. You'll be seeing a lot more of me, Chris.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Our fans are excited, too.
Yes.
Good thing or a bad thing. No, it's a great thing. We'll talk to Coach Stockstill here in just a little bit. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin live today at MTSU, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live today on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University alongside Big Joe Dubin at Big Joe on the Go on X, I guess is what it is now, Twitter.
It's something. Still Twitter to me.
Appreciate Chris Massaro for joining us, and we're, again, excited that Blue Raider games, football and men's basketball, will be on 93.3 Classic Hits. One home for them in Nashville, and so in 95.1 in Murfreesboro. Classic Hits is a fun station too. You know, they got some great music.
Yeah, I love it. It's number 3 on my program.
You listen to that and dance?
I do. It's 102.5, then it goes to 102.9, the Buzz.
Nice.
And 93.3 right there.
Nice. Very cool.
Well done. You'll hear the construction in the background.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll tell it myself. So I got here and I parked, right next to where we are, and I, for some reason, thought we were inside Floyd Stadium. And so I walked through Floyd Stadium, and I'm like, don't see anything. Kind of getting that sinking feeling of, am I in the wrong place? Walk around. So finally I call Ladarius, our onsite engineer, and I go, hey, where are we? And he's like, just park in the Hall of Fame lot. I'm like, I did. I'm in the stadium. He starts laughing. He goes, yeah, we're on the practice field. Which is right next to where I park. So
yeah.
I find the positive in everything. I gave myself the tour. I hadn't been inside Floyd Stadium in a minute, so checked it all out. Good to see it again. But this facility that they're building here is going to be awesome.
Yeah, $66 million student-athlete performance center coming in 2025. So just a couple of years will be there and all the things it's set up there. And Kevin Byard gave the money for the strength and conditioning center. So, it's all the rage now, if you look at these kind of group of five schools, is putting these offices and these club levels in the end zone.
Yeah.
A lot of schools are doing those now. And so have it on campus, have it looking like it is. There's going to be a hotel they're building on campus over here. You have the tennis center coming in. So a lot of good things are on the works here for Middle Tennessee State. And then, of course, they kick it off in 24 days versus Alabama.
Yeah, that's going to be quite the way to kick off the season. But we were talking with Chris about this, and you played college football. Now you're working in college football. You're a fan of college football. It's not your dad's college football, as they like to say anymore. It's certainly changed a lot. And in some ways, in some ways it's good, and in some ways it's not.
Yeah,
and,
we spent all this time. We're talking with Chris about the school's move. We don't talk about the game. And we talked about this last year, Chase, quite a bit about the football. We don't talk football. It's like, hey, is this conference going to move here? Where's Florida State going to go? What about Clemson? We don't talk about the games anymore and these kids. And I just think it's not good. It's just I want to talk football and what's happening and the schedules and games and what's happening in Knoxville, what's happening on West End. But we don't talk about that because it's all focused on, oh, my gosh, what's Cal going to do now that the Pac-12's gone? And you remember, you talk about this in your dad's football.
Yeah.
But, it's so simple back. You win the Big 8, you go to the Orange Bowl. You win the SEC, you go to the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you win the Big 10.
Those days are gone.
You go to the Rose Bowl. It was all kind of figured out, and now it's just got to this level of like, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen and all that. But Chris makes a good point. Those 30, 40 teams are going to be in that one gigantic super conference, whatever they're going to have. And schools like Middle, these group of five schools, are just going to be playing football in that second tier. And so I think it's great. I think it's going to be fantastic to watch these schools just play football. That's it.
Yeah, and that's my thing is, like, just if you love the game, go come to a game here at MTSU. And,
sure.
And you'll see some – I grew up with it going to school here that – and it was great because I could walk over here or just, you know, it was a quick drive and go to a game. And a lot of times they played on a Thursday night or sometimes a Friday night, which, you know, the Friday thing I like to stay away from. But, you know, that's high school. But, you know, you saw some great games. And then obviously we were talking with Chris about beating Miami last year and that how big of a win that was. But
right.
It just I'm the same way of, like, I understand growth, I understand progression, but I to see a conference just die,
right.
Like, it's dead.
Yeah,
it's gone. Know, it's not going to be the Pac-4, it's going to be the Pac gone.
Yeah,
you know,
and Chris Massar was talking about how, you know, it's up all night refreshing Twitter, see what's happening. You know, we laugh at that, but my goodness, I mean, that's pretty
right.
much the case, because what's going to happen now? And now word gets out that the ACC was looking at Stanford and Cal and Washington State. I mean, come on. Well, you're going to have Washington State fly cross country to take on Boston College?
Did you see Lane Kiffin's tweet yesterday about that?
I did not.
Let me find it real quick, because it was spot on. With he quote tweeted a student athlete that let's see, he does tweet a lot. So let me see. If
well,
I
you look
find
at the Missouri coach who said it's great for, you know, talk all this football, but what about the golf team and the softball team and the tennis team? He's got all the travel and sitting. They don't have chartered flights. They can sit in the airport for hours and doing all that stuff. It's just nonsense.
Here it is. So Shannon Cunningham, who's a student athlete, said, I chose to play in the Pac-12 because of the ability to play close to home in front of my family. I chose the Pac so my family didn't have to worry about far travel or giving up all their vacation time just to come see me. This affects athletes in every sport, plus academics. Lane Kiffin then quote tweeted that and said, sorry, they obviously didn't think about how it would affect the ones that actually have to play, travel, and go to class the next day.
Best tweet ever from
him. And he's spot on.
Yep.
He's 100% spot on. But it's what it is it's money. Everything is driven by the almighty dollar.
Ooh.
And it's like, how can we add another zero to
yeah,
this
right.
already, you know, large check that these conferences have? And in the schools, I mean, look, it's everybody is to blame for this. TV networks,
yeah.
You know, things like that. But,
we're still not talking football.
No.
We're not talking.
No, like, we're sitting here at a football practice and we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's not because we don't want to. It's because that's overshadowed everything else that goes on. You know, you're talking Tennessee, Virginia, you know, Vanderbilt and Hawaii in 2 weeks it's going to go on. And, you know, Middle and Alabama, we just get so, you know, I turn it on. I'm like, oh, what's happening now? Okay. I'm to the point now where I really don't care. I just want to see the talk about these kids and the game of football.
You and I, when we do shows together, we like to do the what-if game.
Yeah, I love
what's,
that game.
What's going to be crazy is here in a few years we're going to go, like, well, we could do this now. What if Texas A&M and Missouri didn't join the SEC?
In 2012, yeah.
What if South Carolina and Arkansas
92.
Didn't join?
That's
now,
right.
Now that one, I will give you, was a good thing. Because you
had to do something.
You had to do something, and you got the SEC championship game. But that, I mean, that right there was what kind of launched this all the way back in the early 90s.
It did. So, and then, of course, 2012, you happened with Missouri and A&M joined the fold. So you look like 5 years from now, there's not a doubt in my mind that Clemson and Florida State are in the SEC.
Oh.
I know they got to pay all that money. To
Miami,
get
too.
Probably, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that with the ACC, and I've said that I think the ACC has kind of stood there and watched from afar, but they're probably nervous because, yes, they have the basketball that they can protect, but you lose Florida State, you lose Clemson, you lose Miami. If I'm North Carolina and Duke, then I'm kind of paying attention to that going, well, is this thing collapsing? Do we need to get out?
So You're the SEC, you're the commissioner, right? You could add four teams. Who do you add? Four teams.
So they're at 16 now, so that gets me to 20.
Teams that are not a Big Ten team or a Big 12.
Yeah,
teams
yeah.
out there that would be moving.
Yeah.
Four teams.
Clemson.
Right.
Florida State. Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense. Miami. I think Miami has intrigue. So probably Miami.
Top 10 market.
Yep. And then I mean, you could say Oklahoma State just for the rivalry. with Oklahoma, but I don't know if that really moves the needle all that much.
I like Florida State, like Clemson, and I think Miami is the one there, but also I think they want North Carolina.
If I could get North Carolina because of basketball, then I would do that.
Yep, so you got 20, and you're set for right now, so that would be the four.
Yeah, but I mean, does it stop at 20?
No, probably not. I mean, that's
don't you think that
if 10 gobbles up more?
Yeah, if the Big Ten and the SEC are this super, you know, these two super conferences, 24 seems like the most logical.
Yeah, and then but there's no end in sight.
No.
You know, it's going to happen.
No.
It's going to go on and on and on.
The cannibalization of college football.
It is. We're powerless.
Yeah.
There's nothing that we could do to watch this happen. And then we just have to, like, all right, you know, pick and choose what we want to see and what we want to watch.
When we come back, we're actually going to talk football and not realignment.
Let's do
we're
going to
talk about, I mean, because MTSU's practicing. That's where we're at right now. Tennessee's practicing. Vandy's practicing. We'll talk a little bit about that. Big Joe Dubin hanging out today. You can weigh in on anything, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Live today at MTSU, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063, The Game, live today on the campus of MTSU. They're on the field practicing. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin with me today as we're proud to announce we've renewed our partnership with Middle Tennessee State Athletics. You can hear their football and men's basketball games on 93.3 Classic Hits starting in just a few weeks when MTSU opens their season at Alabama. 6:30 kick on September 2nd. Their first two games are at SEC schools.
Yeah, at Alabama and at Missouri. You know, Alabama is those opening games, you know, the first half – it's going to be a little rust for most teams, you know, and so for Alabama. But it's that second half adjustment that Saban always does so well when they come out and they just completely dominate teams. But here's the good news if you're a Middle Tennessee football fan. Guess who Alabama plays week two?
Who's that?
Texas.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a
– so how much do you show week one? Do you just want to get out and win 24-17 or, you know, I mean, just – 31-21. Well, I mean, just may survive. You know, of course, Middle wants to win the football game, but at Alabama, that's a fine line. How much are you going to show for Texas?
Well, I can tell you this, and you know Nick Saban, that if whatever the score is, it doesn't matter.
Right.
He's going to find everything wrong with the way Alabama played to motivate them for Texas.
Sure. Yeah, and that game is at Alabama, too.
Right. Right. So, and look, Texas gave him a game last year. I mean, that was fantastic football game, and just a preview of things to come with Texas joining the SEC.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game last year, and so that's the thing, you know, when they go down there, Middle goes down there and prepare for, you know, Alabama's best. But again, how much will Saban let Texas see that game? Ideally, you know, Saban want to get to a nice lead and then run the ball the rest of the way, but you know, Middle will have other plans come on September the 2nd.
Yeah, and look, Middle, I think he knows you don't take MTSU lightly because look what they did to Miami last year. And I mean, Rick Stockstill, we're going to talk to here in a few minutes. He's put together a hell of a program. There's a reason he's been here so long. We got to Middle the same year.
That's right. He said this will be his 18th season at MTSU.
And look, and I mean, he had opportunities to leave. He was, you know, up for the, I think it was the East Carolina job.
Memphis came calling.
Memphis ultimately decided this is where he wanted to be, where his family wanted to be, and he has built a program.
Do you know, because he hired December of 2005, you know the other candidate for this job was?
I used to know the answer to this, and I don't remember. It's a name.
He's the Georgia defensive coordinator right now.
Oh, okay. So it's I'm blanking on his name.
Will Muschamp.
Oh, yeah. Muschamp.
But the thing
your
is,
buddy.
Yeah, that they thought, you know, Muschamp would be here 2 or 3 years and be gone because he's an up-and-coming coach. And that was kind of waiting kind of the what was going to happen with that. So then they got Stockstill. He's been here now 18 years. And the last 2 years have been really good. You know, win the Bahamas Bowl, the win in the Hawaii Bowl last year was a great game over a really good San Diego State team. That was the only game, Christmas, everybody was watching that game. And for Middle to win it, that was huge.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's – like I said, it's one of those – it's one of those defining, you know, season-defining moments.
Yeah.
And you know, they're obviously looking for more of those this year. Vanderbilt, they're another intriguing team.
They
you
are.
Know, because I love what Clark Lee is doing there. You know, he has – I feel like that and this is not a knock at anybody before him, but he understands what it's like to play there and how difficult of a job that can be. And there's a buy-in. There's culture. And, you know, I think that this is a team with looking at their schedule, Joe, that, you know, I think getting to a bowl game is certainly doable for them this year.
Oh, that'd be huge. But, you know, all starts game one versus Hawaii. I mean, you get that you get that nice win and move on and go from there. And then, you know, I mean, you shock some people in conference, which you did last year. I think Clark Lee's an excellent coach, and there's a lot of promise there on West End. But the thing is, we've heard that before.
Sure.
So now we need to see the results, and you know, and the goal is to get to a bowl game and knock off some people along the way.
But hypothetically, they could start 4-0.
Oh yeah,
and easily. If you do that, I mean, you do that, then you gotta really like your chances to get to 6 or 7 wins, because I'm not sure what Kentucky is. You have them at home. Missouri, I don't think is very good.
Right,
you should have beat them last year. You got them at home. I don't think Florida is very good. Now you got to go to the Swamp, and no matter what, that's always going to be a tough spot. But that's three right there that you could put in the toss-up category. You're probably not going to beat Georgia. Georgia's going to come in and be Georgia.
Right.
You're at Ole Miss. I don't exactly know what they are.
Yep.
Auburn. At South Carolina. I think I actually have South Carolina finishing third, and then you're at Tennessee.
But listen to that schedule. I mean, so Hawaii, Alabama, A&M, at Wake Forest, at UNLV. So, yeah, 4-0. Shock, knock off Kentucky, you're 5-0. And beat Missouri, you're 6-0. I mean, it could happen. And then that Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, Auburn, South Carolina, Tennessee. I mean, that is just, oof.
They could. So Vegas had their win totals at 3.5, which I thought was a joke.
Absolutely.
Because they could knock that out in the first four games.
That's right. Did you lay a little
I might have.
Put a little something on then.
Bear do in the woods?
He talks. He looks at Twitter. He scrolls the internet that goes on there. But
that'd be awesome if you followed a bear on Twitter.
Yeah, well, we should do that.
Is his name Greg?
A fake account, right? But there, you know, there is. Yeah, I mean, it's not a thing. Is that, you know, as every coach would tell you, I mean, this is the best time because we're all 0-0 right now. I mean, nobody's lost a game. So everything's good right now, but you want to win those, man. You start 4-0, and you're rolling. You're feeling good about yourself, and you got things going on. And then, you know, you beat Kentucky last year. What's Kentucky going to be like? They lost, you know, their quarterback and a few other good, but they did get a really good quarterback from NC State now who's coming up to Kentucky. And I don't remember his name, but he's really good. He'll be taking over. So, but, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of promise. I think Clark Lee's doing a fantastic job, but we've heard this before. We've heard it, you know, on down the line about, hey, this could be the year. Hopefully it is the year. I think Clark Lee, I think it's, you know, he's talking about, well, he's a Vanderbilt guy, and he understands. Well, that goes a long way. I mean, Vanderbilt's a different breed as far as college football. I mean, there's a lot that goes on that doesn't happen at the
It's a hard
Georgia,
job.
Florida, yeah, it
it's
is.
It's a hard job. And people, I think there are some that are smart. Like, I've heard Saban say it, that, look, that's a difficult job because you're coaching at a – And look, I mean this in the best way possible. You're coaching at a place that puts academics before anything, and it's an academic institution. It's hard to get into. And then, you know, you've had – finally, they have people in place that are putting an emphasis on athletics and putting the money into athletics.
Right.
You know, my dad used to make the joke that, you know, they get the check from the SEC and build a new science building. Well, it's not like that anymore.
Right, it's not,
you know,
yeah.
It's changed.
Yeah, so that's it'll be fun to watch Clark Lee because this is year number
three.
Yep.
Coming up next, we will talk to MTSU head coach Rick Stockstill as he gets ready for practice. He will join us. Chase and Big Joe live today from MTSU, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
No.
102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe Dubin today live on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University. Football practice getting, I mean, it's pretty much started. And Coach Rick Stockstill is here with us. Coach, thanks so much for having us out here today.
Yeah, Chase, thanks for having me here. I'm glad you guys came. This is pretty cool what Mark Owens has set up to do. So appreciate you guys coming all the way over here.
And we're excited. We announced with Chris earlier that your games will be on 93.3 Classic Hits this year. And you got a big one to start. I mean, you wanted to make it easy right out of the gates, didn't you, going down to Alabama?
Yeah, with all this conference of realignment stuff going on, I guess we act like we're in the SEC these first 2 weeks. But, no, it's a great challenge for us. We went down there in, 15, and we hung with them for a little bit. And hopefully we can, do better. And we're a confident football team right now. And, how we finished the last couple of years and how well we did last year. And we're not going to be in awe. We're not going to be intimidated. We know we got to play well. We know we got to play in one of the best teams in the country. And but we're excited about that opportunity.
But, and you mentioned being confident, but those games to me, I've always looked at those are character building games. You see what your football team is all about of, like you said, don't be in awe of the mighty Alabama or Nick Saban or whoever. It's another team that you're playing, and it's a game. So to have that be how you start your season is kind of a tone setter, isn't it?
Not necessarily. I don't think that because, if you say, it's a tone setter and you go down there and you get clobbered, what's that do for the rest of your season? We lost our first game last year, and everybody's woe is me. But we come back and we beat Colorado State, Tennessee State, Miami, so I've always felt like you never really know what kind of team you have until they're faced with adversity. And I felt great about our team last year on Sunday after that first game.
Yeah.
When we got beat, how we practiced that day, our mindset, how we communicated, how we talked, how we worked, I felt great about our team. And then, we won three straight, Miami and all that stuff. Then we lost three straight. And but the belief in that team never wavered because I knew, what we had. And, we had a bunch of injuries there in the middle of the year, but we didn't make excuses, and we kept coming back. We won the last four or five games in the bowl game, the year. So that team, when it was faced with adversity, showed its true colors. And what it was made out of, it showed its metal. So, we'll find out what this team's made of once adversity hits.
24 days out, how much preparation are you putting in for Alabama? Or is that a week of thing?
Yeah, none right now. We're still implementing, Joe, we're still implementing our offense and defense and kicking basic schemes. And probably I've always – that 10 days, 11-day area window is when you kind of start – cutting back not only on who you're working with. Right now everybody's getting an equal amount of reps. Here in the next couple of weeks, those reps will start to diminish a little bit as you hone in on your top 22 guys, 33 guys on both sides of the ball. So but about 10, 11 days out is when we'll start focusing more on Alabama.
We're talking MTSU football coach Rick Stockstill. Coach, I know you're an offensive guy. You played quarterback at Florida State. But I got to tell you, your defense returns eight starters, and I've been watching them. That, you've got to be awfully proud of that unit over there because there are some ball players over there.
Yeah, I like the leadership that we've got on defense. We're older and more mature or more experienced on that side of the ball than we are offensively. We lost, a couple good players last year in the defensive line, J.K. Wyatt and Jordan Ferguson to graduation. Everybody else is back. We've added a couple pieces, whether it's transfer guys or high school guys in there that have really fit in well and, doing a nice job. And then, we lost one starting linebacker, but everybody else is back. So I like where we're at there. And then defensively, we lost a corner, starting corner to the portal. We got the other three guys back. So
good.
I like our defense. I like the leadership. I like the intensity that we're practicing with on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. So I like where we're at, especially on that side of the ball.
And for Jordan Ferguson's got signed by the Seahawks.
Yeah,
so.
And he was out here coaching, 2 days ago. He won the coach. And when he got cut by the Seattle back in the spring, I created a position. He was going to help coach. And then he came to me, I think it was Monday, and said, I just got a call, and
good.
They want me out there. So hopefully he makes the team, and I can look for a coach, later on. But happy for Jordan.
That's good.
Talking to Rick Stockstill, head coach of the Blue Raiders. you know, Joe and I used to do a high school football show together, and the first year was a kid named Brent, the quarterback at Siegel High School, that we talked about quite a bit. Now he's your quarterback's coach and pass game coordinator. What is it, has it been like as a coach and as a dad to watch him evolve in his, the next stage of life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knew he wanted to coach at an early age. You know, when he moved out of the house to come here, found a piece of paper in his room that, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's like in the second grade, be a pro football player, pro baseball player, and a college football coach. So he knew he wanted to coach at an early age. And as a coach, taking the dad out of the equation, very impressed with him. I think he's got a wonderful future in this profession. He went to the Bengals in spring to their OTAs and spent a week with Zach Taylor up there and learning. They invited him up there, so that was a good experience for him. But he's a great communicator. He comes with great energy every day. Obviously, he played the position, so he's knowledgeable about it. He's got a great knowledge about the overall scheme offensively, you know, offensive football. And then as the dad part of it, just proud of him. Fun to come to work with him every day. You know, I'm very lucky to be able to not only coach him for those years and watch him develop as a player, but now as a dad to be able to walk into the same building with your son is pretty unique and pretty special.
You're obviously focused on your program and what's going on here, but college football is in a weird place now.
It's in a sad place, in my opinion. It's really disappointing. I'm a purist. I'm old school. I believe in the bowls. I believe in the rivalries. It's sad that, you know, we're basing all these decisions based off money. You know, they're not the – you know, Southern Cal and them guys aren't going to the Big Ten because of better competition or closer rivalries or any of that stuff. They're going because they're getting a bigger TV paycheck. And the same thing, you know, those guys going to the Big 12. You know, it's just sad. I hate it that it's come to this, but that toothpaste is out of the tube and it ain't going back in. But, you know, it's scary in a sense for us, group of five guys, that – you know, what's going to happen to us? You know, is it going to be those 60, 65 big guys that, you know, they break away completely from the NCAA and they form their own gig and, you know, we're over here left to fend for ourselves. So not everybody can play at Alabama. Not everybody can play at Ohio State. But there's a lot of high school kids that can play, you know, at Middle Tennessee and at, you know, Georgia Southern or wherever. And I just worry that those guys aren't going to get the opportunities that, you know, they might have gotten this year or 5-10 years ago.
With the portal, are you able to take a break? I know you talked about you saw your father, you went to Destin, but that's the portal time. I mean, that's
– Yeah, well, I actually, you know, the portal was dead. It was a dead period then. The NCAA instituted the dead period the last week of June and the first 3 weeks of July.
Okay.
Mainly for us, for college coaches, that we can – have a little bit of a life, you know, so you went there. But then in the same sense, you don't want to go too be away from your own team that long. You know, you got to be engaged. And I hate saying re-recruit your own team. I hate saying that. But you got to be involved with your own team and all that. So the NCAA is looking at shortening the dead period. Right now it's December 4th or 5th till January 15th. They're looking at shortening that period 15 days, which they should.
Right.
But the one that, you know, is a bad one is the spring one. You know, April 1st to April 15th. You know, that's right the end of spring practice. Uh-huh. You know, you think you got your team, and then somebody can walk in, you know, right after spring practice and say they're leaving. Now it's hard for college coaches to find guys to replace them in April.
Let's go back. August 31st, 2006, Rick Stockstill is about to lead MTSU on the field for the first time in a game versus Florida International.
I was at that game.
What do you remember about that day?
the opportunity to meet Don Strock, who was an NFL quarterback, you know, for the Miami Dolphins.
Was he the head coach?
He was the head coach.
Yes.
He was only there 1 year. And I said, yeah, I'm going to get to meet Don Strock. nervous and everything, your first game ever, all that, making sure you did you covered everything, your team's prepared and all that. But the first thing was, stock and struck.
Oh, that's so great. And you won the game, too, so congratulations.
Yeah, hell of a game. You know, we scored right at the end of the half. Eugene Gross broke off a long one, and, then they scored and missed their extra point. And Manny Diaz was the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
And it's his first time being a defensive coordinator. And he cramped up. They're giving him IVs on the sideline in the middle of the fourth quarter during the game. I said, I bet people are going, what the hell have we got going on here?
I will say, I saw you at practice the last couple of days. This is the fountain of youth, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it.
For you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love it. I mean, this is my passion. It's my energy. It keeps you. I love being around people. I love energy. I mean, I'd much rather be out here than in an office. And
amen.
So I just love, I still get excited every day at practice. And you guys can't see, but I keep looking at my watch under here to make sure we get going here. No, we're good. And I love it, Joe. It's my passion, my energy. A lot of things get me excited, but this gets me the most excited.
Love it.
Real quick, Coach, you know, you two are tight. Now he's going to be with you a lot as he'll be on the radio broadcast. I feel like you're excited about that, but do you realize what you're signing up for, having him around?
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, and I'm not blowing smoke up his butt. You know,
good.
I've always loved Joe's energy, his knowledge of the game, his passion for the game. It comes across on TV. It comes across on radio, and I've said that for a long time, and like I said, I ain't blowing smoke up his butt. I'm fired up about it, and, Jeff Murphy did a phenomenal job last year, and Joe's going to bring so much to this broadcast and everything, and I'm fired up about it.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate you.
We're excited about it, too. Coach, we'll let you get to practice. We appreciate you stopping by today and for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming again, man. Mark Owens did a phenomenal job on this, and for you guys to come to Nashville is pretty cool.
Absolutely. He is Coach Rick Stockstill, head coach at MTSU. Chasing Big Joe live today at MTSU, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.